I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU.
One, blue, one.
Tuesday nights at 7, Utah defensive lineman Devin Kaufusi joins KSL for an insider look at the Utah Utes football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is KSL's Unrivaled. It is the Players Club this week. You notice it's on a Wednesday and not on a Tuesday this week. That being said, I still have Scott Mitchell to my right, and we still have Devin Kaufusi from the University of Utah back at KSL Broadcast House. Devin, am I coming in clear? Do you hear us clearly?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yes,
loud and clear.
I love it. This is like, I just love the idea of us getting you in on the show at the beginning of the season, and then we're like, anyway, and you're going to be by yourself in the studio. just alone in the studio taking things on. But you've taken it in stride. We're here at the State Fair tonight for the Tour de Fans, brought to you by General RV, and Devin's back in studio. And it's been an interesting week. Obviously, with the loss on Saturday, I want to know, we asked Jaron this week what the locker room was like, obviously on the BYU side of things, and you know, that's a very different scene. But both Scott and I agree that we would love to have been flies on the wall for what Kyle Whittingham had to say to the team in there. What was the scene like in the locker room after the loss to BYU in Provo?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very disappointing loss, and so the feeling of disappointment was just is what we had on the locker room. Coach Witt just mentioned, you know, we got the right guys. We just got to be able to bounce back, make sure we got, you know, everything down to get back and get a win. And so, but yeah, it was definitely disappointing. You know, it's always stings. It's always sour after a loss.
Right.
Especially a loss like that down in Provo.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I have to wonder how much of because one of the things I felt that was really important was matching the intensity of BYU and the moment, because that crowd was pretty electric. And I just wonder, do you think the crowd played into it in that you guys haven't really for really some time? I mean, all last year you didn't have crowds. It was really kind of the first, okay, this is a pressure game. It's noisy. How much do you think the crowd actually played into the game on Saturday?
You know,
honestly, as
a defensive player, you know, the crowd's not roaring and stuff when, you know,
right,
the home team's out on the field. But you know, during the week we have, you know, the speakers out and having a crowd simulation and everything. But yeah, no, that place was loud and was rocking.
You know,
do you think that the crowd noise you get in practice, like the speakers, does it really help you? Because, like, I've heard it before, and it just sounds really annoying to me. Like, I need to go to practice every day.
But look, BYU fans can be annoying, all right?
Well, of course they are, yeah. I guess that's
it. Could be part of the deal. So, I mean, like, they
said it. Does it seem annoying to you, Devin, during the week, or do you just not notice it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for sure, compared from last year to this year with having fans, there's a difference. When we do have the practices with the speakers and stuff, yeah, they crank them up where it's deafening. And so it was right on with the sound volume and running practice through that.
Well, I want to focus a lot on this San Diego State game coming up this hour. And obviously we got to get through what happened on Saturday just because there's a lot of questions that came from it. Well, but what did you, after the game, what surprised you in that game? Was it BYU? Was it the plan that BYU had? Was it exactly what you thought it was going to be, but it was just some miscues that ended up being the problem? Or did you look at it and you said, man, I was surprised by X, Y, and Z, what BYU threw at us on the offensive side of things?
Yeah, I think they just had great execution. And just speaking on the defensive side, you know, is only what I could speak for,
right,
being a defensive
sure.
player, was, you know, we had some self-inflicting plays. That was able to extend some drives for BYU. And so, yeah, we just come bouncing back. You know, best way to get rid of that taste in our mouth is just, you know, moving on. And so it being Wednesday and everything, yeah, we made a big point just, you know, we don't have to have this loss that beat us twice, you know, have kind of this losing hangover. So it being Wednesday, you know, we've just been bouncing back and moving forward to San Diego State.
Yeah, and we want to move forward too, but I really am curious about them running on you guys. I mean, that just doesn't happen to your defense. And what were they doing or you guys not doing that allowed them to rush for so many yards?
I think, you know, I was looking back on the game, you know, in the first half we held them to, you know, very minimum of rushing right. yards and stuff, and then it was a different story in that second half. The change up there was just, you know, as a defensive front, we needed to play better technique and take complete ownership and play Utah defense, especially in games like that, which we all know in the past meetups of the Holy War, the turnover game has been the biggest reason for the win-loss, let alone every football game. That's the number one
sure.
you know, key indicator. And so, yeah, us not having any of those and us on the defensive line, you know, not creating enough havoc or disruption, you know, led to, you know, what ended up happening.
Devin Kaufusi, of course, joining us every week as part of the Players Club, breaking down a little bit of what that BYU and Utah game on Saturday. It's Wednesday, as you said, but, you know, normally we're able to break this thing down a little bit earlier in the week. And one of the things that I was curious you know, I think a lot of people, it's easy for somebody to go, oh, Devin went up to Utah, and then he goes up to Utah, and then he didn't win at Utah, and look at that. Yeah, I guess that didn't pay off. But in the end, when you see all the things, I know you don't buy into that because you're more mature, I think, than most yeah. people in this rivalry.
Uh-huh.
But I was honestly thinking about you during the game. I was thinking, I wonder what mom and dad are thinking about this, because I know you're talking about, I mean, I must have been 30 feet away from them up in the booth if they were up, you know, wearing red in one of the president loges. But all I could think about was, is okay, how are they reacting to this? How did they talk to you after the game, and what was kind of the family reaction to the rivalry game?
Yeah, it was really interesting. First off, you know, my brother Corbin was in town for, and
he
came in on one of my tickets, and he came up to Salt Lake and grabbed a red Utah shirt. And
look at that.
And he got a lot of crap, he said, for it. And you know, that's just part of it. But, you know, that was super awesome and really cool to see, just knowing, you know, the great career he had at BYU.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was all in supportive. My parents were there. And just after, you know, they're just it's just always great to see family after, you know, a game, win or lose. But especially when after that, you know, they're just – it was just great to see him and just understand, you know, my mom's always so happy, you know,
she's just a mom.
Yeah, she's just a mom.
She just wants to see you,
she is,
buddy.
she always says, you know, I'm just a, you know, she's a cougarette, so she's just like, oh, I'm just the dumb cheerleader, so she's just happy to be there to talk to everyone. She's, you know, talking to everyone, being mayor, you know, just talking to everyone that stands around her. My dad, on the other hand, just, you know,
The coach is breaking it down in his head.
Yeah, coach breaking it down, and you know, we go back and we watch the game. We have it recorded and stuff. And
you did. You broke down film with dad, huh?
Yeah, no, we always do. We always have the game recorded, and then that Sunday
stuff,
we just rewatch it. And my dad just says,
"What did he say?" What did he break down?
On certain things, just really just go over my own personal technique. And so reading, getting the right read. Once I have the right read, I got to be able to, hand placement, strike violently, squeeze back, be able to get off blocks. And so it's the whole variety of it all.
So you play Weber State the first game. You don't play anyone really before the season starts, and then you play BYU. How is there a lot of difference in the speed of each opponent? Does it take a little bit of time to kind of match that speed, get up to speed, and then you'll take another leap this week and really once you get into Pac-12 play? But how much of a difference is that, or is it just football?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can attest, with the experience, it's week to week. You always want to come out and start fast. I mean, that's always what's mentioned in the locker room. Get out there, start fast. And so, of course, not every week is perfect in that sense of starting fast and having the perfect execution. But it's to the advantage and benefit of whoever does start fast and executes well. Seems to get the momentum going, because football being a game of momentum goes a long way.
Well, let's take our first break here. When we come back, we've got a couple more questions. I want to know about what they saw in Jaron Hall, and I also want to know what the prep has been like this week. If Bloody Tuesday ended up being particularly bloody because of last Saturday's result, or if it's just business and they got to get right to it. We'll come right back. Devin Cafusi, as always, hosting with us on the Players Club. We're going to come back. We are here at the State Fair, Utah State Fair. Boy, it's a Travis Tritt concert tonight.
A lot of folks here.
They're coming out. They're coming out in force. So we'll take the break here. We'll come back. You can enter to win tickets, by the way, BYU versus Arizona State this weekend. We've got so much. And look, yes, when Utah's in town, we're going to give away some Utah tickets too. So come right back. More to go. We've got more questions for Devin. And if you have them as well, hit us with a text message, 57500, and we will ask these players. I just love having the access to these guys. So now we'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson. And unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.